Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, because your word is like a fire. Right, like a fire in my bones. I can't wait to release it. Glory to God. I thank you because of what you will do, even as your children listen to the word of the Lord and engage today. Now, I declare in the message of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. On today, as we hear the message of the Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, prophetic 613. There's a thing about this date in the spirit realm. You're not going to have to catch it, but I'll be telling you about it in this message. But I want to read and tell you some stories. I love to tell these stories out of the Bible. I'm going to tell you some stories taken from the book of Esther. There are many chapters that I'm going to run through very quickly today. A lot of chapters, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. Now, let's see if I can do all of that in about an hour or so. And I can do it because I'm not going to read through all of it. I'm just going to tell you the stories, most of which you already know. They're familiar, but let's see what the Lord will highlight for us. And there's a place where we're going this morning. Glory to God. But let's see where the Lord will take us. Hallelujah. The story opens from chapter 3, this part of the story that I want to tell. You all know about King Ahasuerus. You know about Esther, how she rose to the throne. You know about her uncle Mordecai. And there was this man also that was called Haman, the son of Hammedatha, we're told, the Agagite. And so one day the king decided to promote him. So the king promoted him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Whatever reason that he found favor before the king, he did. And the king promoted him. And all of the king's servants were commanded to bow before Haman. Because the king commanded it so. So he had great pomp and great glory. But this man called Mordecai, he refused to bow. Mordecai was a real Jew to the core. The Jew will not bow the knee to anybody but Yeshua and Jehovah. They will not bow anybody but to Yahweh. And they wouldn't do it. So he wouldn't do it. And this man started to get angry, some of them also asked Mordecai, why you that you are disobeying the king's commandment? The king told all of us to bow to this man. Why would you not bow? So they told the man. At first the man didn't know, but others told him, there's one man here that would not. And the man was always sitting at the king's gate. What are you doing there if you're not going to bow? I'm not going to bow. It was in his heart, Mordecai, that he wasn't going to bow. So when the news got to Haman, he started to get angry about it, so he was full of wrath, we're told. And he, said in his heart, what am I going to do to this Mordecai? He said, who is he? They said, well, he's of the children of the Jews. The Jews? Well, what are these people doing here? They're slaves anyway. Why would they not bow? So he said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to kill this man and all his people. It's going to be a little thing for me to kill just this man. I'm going to kill all of them. I'm going to show him who's the master here. So that was in his heart. So that's the background to this story. So from day to day and like that, the story continued like that. Mordecai would not bow. So this man, Haman, he went to the king one day to make accusation. He said, well, you know how you are the king and all the nations and the people around you, honor you and so forth. But he said, look, but I tell you what, there's a group of people that don't honor the king, you know, and, you know, they actually undermine the king's commandments. Their ways are different. Their laws are different. And they wouldn't do anything that the king wanted, you know. And you talk to the king like that, you start to incite, you know, something inside the king. He said, well, who are these people? He said, well, they're the Jews. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, a man said to the king, look, I want you to give a decree that these people will be wiped out because they are doing harm to the king. In fact, I'm going to pay 10,000 talents of silver, you know, into the house of the king, you know, and in the king's treasures to, you know, for this thing to happen. He was even trying to bribe the king. So the king said to him, man, okay, whatever, you know, you want to do, go ahead and do it. In fact, we'll give you silver out of the king's treasures. And so, you know, the king scribes on the 13th day of the first month, was written all that Haman had commanded them to do, and the king's lieutenants, and the governors that were over the province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. The letters were sent by posts to all the king's provinces to destroy. Listen to what they would do. To destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews. That's right. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, upon the 13th day. I don't know why they picked 13. Today's 13th. We'll tell you about that in a bit. You know, one day upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. And take spoil of them and pray. Now, so they are gearing up for 12 months from the first month on the 13th day. Yeah, the announcement was made, you know, search out the land and find all the Jews. I'm not being on hiding. And on the 12th month, on the 13th day, 12 months from today, you're going to kill all of them. You know, so. They should be ready against that day. So the posts were sent out. Now, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And it was, you know, the seal of the king. The king's ring, the seal was put upon it. And that's it. You know, so the whole city was you know, perplexed. The Jews were afraid. Everybody. So, when Mordecai, in the next chapter, now we're now in verse chapter 4, Mordecai heard this, he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate. Well, he couldn't enter, but he could come. And he came in there. None could enter in with sackcloth, you know, so, but he stood before the gate. And in every province we are told, wherever the commandment of the king, which actually came from Haman, he wrote it in the king's name. It wasn't really the king that did it, but he persuaded the king to sign off on it. There was great mourning among the Jews. And then they began to fast and pray and wail, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. You know, so the word got to Esther and so on and so forth. And, you know, Mordecai also, you know, told one person to tell it to Esther and all of that. So, and all the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries in order to destroy the Jews. I mean, the whole thing looked, you know, appealing to the king. You know, a rebellious people that were undermining the king's commandments, that would not follow the king's ways. Furthermore, destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents into the king, into the king's treasures. I mean, so nothing for the king to lose. You know, so, you know, all these words, everybody were repeating the words every day as the Jews were afraid, you know. And Mordecai, you know, said to Esther, look, you know, There's a reason why God would put you in this place. And don't think that you're going to escape just because you're in the king's house. You're not going to escape. They will discover that you're a Jew and you will be killed as well. And if you don't do this thing, that you go before the king and ask for mercy, if you don't do it, well, God will raise somebody else up and you will be destroyed. Your father's house too and all of them. And, arguing with her uncle and said, well, you know, I can't just go to the king unless I am bidden. You know how it is. If anybody goes to the king and you are not bidden, you know, that's a suicide mission. The king might just have you killed. And God said, I don't care. You are going. And if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else and you will be killed too and you'll be ashamed. And don't forget, this might have been the reason why God put you here at such a time. So she said, okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to, get all her maidens around us, get everybody else to pray and fast for me, and I will go. And you know the famous words, if I perish, I perish. So that's where that story came from. So, that's the backdrop for that story. So it came to pass, God gave Esther wisdom. So she put on a royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne. Now, Esther is praying, and all the people are praying for her. Let there be favor, let me find favor before the king today, that he will stretch forth the golden scepter toward me. Otherwise, I'm a dead person. So, but she found favor. Glory to God. And it was so that when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Well, that was the beginning of miracles, for Esther and all the other good things that will happen later. And how God will overturn this thing. So Esther drew near, touched the tip of the scepter that was there. Culture in the day. And the king said to her, what will thou, Queen Esther? What is it you want? Shall be given thee even to the half of the kingdom. Now, favor already. This Esther girl was favored already. She was favored. God set her up to be king. When Vashti disobeyed and disregarded her husband, the king, Vashti the queen, and the elders told him to get rid of her, and they got rid of her, and they auditioned, and Mordecai put in this young girl. And she was selected. Favor was already setting her up. And so today, she's standing before the king, and the king just loved her. He said, look, anything you want, even if you want me to give you half the kingdom today, just say it, I'll give it to you. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not here to ask for half the kingdom. He said, there's only one thing, one simple thing I want to ask. God gave her wisdom. See, in the moment, she said, I want to invite the king and this Haman to the, the king's favorite guy. Haman was the new thing in the king, right? In the kingdom, right? The king just favored him, promoted him, done all these things. So I want to invite the two of you to a banquet that I'll prepare and honor him. Oh, the king is thinking, well, that's good. What can be better than that? You're going to invite me and Haman, my chosen, to the banquet? That's a good thing. So go ahead and do it. So the king, said to his chamberlains, go and tell Haman to make paste and do as Esther has said and come to the banquet which Esther will prepare. And so Esther made a banquet of wine. The king asked her again, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom. She said, well, my petition is, if I found favor before you, let just the king and Haman come to the banquet. Second time. So the king is saying, what is this thing? Is that something that she really wants? Why is she? Okay. So word went out and Haman was told that the queen had invited you and only you to banquet with her and the king. My goodness. When Haman heard this, he said, my, wow, wow, wow. He was so glad that the queen will favor him above everyone else to do a whole banquet, and only he will be invited along with the king to the queen's banquet. Say, Mike, this is really great. So as he passed by, he walked out of the palace and saw Mordecai there. Mordecai did not stand up or move for him. Yeah. Everybody was commanded, when you see Haman, you bow the knee, you stand up, you bow down. Mordecai wouldn't do it. This man was enraged inside of him. But he refrained himself, we're told. He went home, told his friends, told his wife Zeresh. He said, look, the king has really, you know how the king has promoted me above everybody already. And now, as if that was not enough, see how the queen is honoring me. That's a banquet she has made and invited only me of all the provinces, to join her with the queen, with the king. He said, wow, that's good. Congratulations, everybody was saying. He said, well, yeah, but that doesn't do me anything. As long as this Mordecai would not respect me. I mean, he of all the people would not bow down to me. The thing aggravates me. So they said to him, look, this Mordecai is a nobody, Just make some gallows and have him hanged and everything around him. Well, Haman was planning to have them killed anyway. So he said, yeah, that's a good thing. That's what we're going to do. So cause the gallows to be made. That's chapter 5. And then, now, let's go to the most interesting part of this story is in chapter 6. Now, I want you to notice some elements of this story as we go through now. See all the plotting that's been going on in the background and what the enemy of the people of God want to do to them. Kill them, destroy them, wipe off their name off the face of the earth. Not only Mordecai, but all the Jews. This was the plan. Okay. How will God respond? Well, there are many ways in which God responds when your enemy is coming after you. There are many ways that God restored. In this story, the first thing that God did was just the night before this whole thing will come to a head. The Lord took away the angel of the Lord, troubled the king in the night before. He could not sleep. He could not sleep. I mean, the king has a very comfortable bed, has minstrels around him that can play music, even got all these beautiful women and everything. Can call any of them at any time. But he could not sleep. Took away his sleep. He was troubled. So staying up, not knowing what to do. So he said, well, bring me something to read. Bring me the book of the records of the Chronicles. Bring them to me and read them before me. So I said, okay, now that was God. God was beginning to set up something here. Some people call him the master orchestrator. He's planning something. He's cooking something. I like to call him that. So they brought him the book of the Chronicles, which is, a record of all the happenings and so forth, the critical events around the kingdom. And they began to read. And as they were reading to him, they found a place where Mordecai had saved the king, of a coup attempt, a plot against him a couple of times. Some people that wanted to lay hand on the king to assassinate him, Mordecai had, uncovered the plot and told it, and the attempt was foiled, and destroy those people. And I said, so the king said, well, what was there that was done for this man that saved the king's life? And they read for that and said, well, there was nothing done for him. Said, well, why not? I said, well, I don't know. There was nothing done for him, the chamberlain would say. So at this point in time, the whole night, he had spent hours of the night. They were reading things to him. This was the thing that caught his attention. There were other things read to him, but that didn't catch his attention. And remember, it started in the night. Right now, it's morning time. It's now morning time. the whole night, couldn't sleep. Now, he says to the chamberlains, who is in the court? What do you need somebody in the court for? It's just send one of these chamberlains that are already here. But see, this is the way that God set things up. When God wants to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies and make your enemies serve you on that table, God can prepare anything, you know, because God already knows how to arrange everything. Now, this same man didn't know that he was a pawn in God's hands, but he thought he was doing something. So now, at that very moment, again, this is divine appointment. God appointed it so. At the very moment that the king, now it's now morning hours, he's probably spent 6 hours or however long, going through this, unable to sleep. And now I say, who is there? A man had come very early in the morning to come and request something of the king, you know, how he would carry out his evil plot. You know, so who is in the king? Who is in the court? And at that very moment, Haman was calm, and as he approached, and they said, oh yeah, Haman is here. He'll come to see the king. He said, come on in, come on in, let him come in. Now, this man was a favored man. Whether the king called him or not, he can show up at any time. You know, the king received him. So they told him, and the king said, let him come in. And so he came in, and he stood before the king. And so before he could speak anything, say, oh, you know, say, I've got to say, no, I got something to ask you. Now, if the king delights, or when the king delights to bless somebody and promote him and honor him and so forth, what should the king do? Tell me. I need your advice. So Haman is thinking in his head, well, who else? I mean, I'm already the favored one. There's nobody else invited to the banquet but me. There can't be anybody else that the king, certainly there cannot be anybody else that the king will be thinking about. It's got to be me. Now, because he's thinking that way, see, also, the Lord put a delusion on him. He's thinking that way. Now, he said, well, it's got to be me. So he's going to pile it on. All the, instead of just saying one thing for the king to do to honor that person, because he thinks that the honor is coming to himself, let's see all the things that Haman would ask the king or advise the king to do. Now, Haman thought to his heart, in his heart, and said, to whom would the king delight to do this honor other than myself? I'm the only one that was invited to the banquet after all. So Haman answered the king and said, well, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let's count all the things. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear. I mean, the king's own apparel. Let put it upon this man. Let the horse that the king used to ride. Really? You know? And he want the crown. What else do you want? You know? Let the crown royal be set on his head. I mean, everything. This man was setting himself up to be king. Because he thought, surely I'm the one. You know, and bring the royal apparel, bring the kingly horse or chariot, bring even the crown. Put it on this man's head. And let all these things be delivered into the hands of one of the king's most noble princes. And let them array this man without the king, you know, the man whom the king wants to honor. Let them array him and bring him on horseback throughout the whole city and everywhere. And let proclaim before him. You know, and let everybody bow in it. He's still thinking that, you know, with this now, Mordecai is going to absolutely bow. There's no way. He must bow now. So the king says, really, all this stuff? What else? Is there anything else? Mordecai is scratching his head. No, I think that'll do it. I mean, we got everything covered. So here comes the bombshell. That's right. The bombshell is yet to come. Then the king said to Haman, make haste. You said it. You said the word. Now, make haste. Take the apparel, just like you said. Take the horse, just like you said. Take the crown, just like you said. Take the ring, just like you said. Take everything. and go and do it to Mordecai the Jew. And see to it. Now that man is sitting in my in front of the gate, they've been told. And you see to it, you know, that nothing fails of all that you have spoken. Oh, my goodness. So, a man was left with no choice. Out of his own mouth came promotion to his greatest nemesis, to his greatest enemy, the one he wanted to destroy, the one he wanted to kill. And not only, he scorned to kill Mordecai only. He said, it's of nothing. I'm going to kill him and all the Jews. Well, from his own mouth too came that blessing, the promotion and the reversal came from his own mouth. And then he had to go do exactly that. Brought Mordecai on horseback, put the thing on him, and he, Haman, had to bow the knee to Mordecai because he pronounced it with his own mouth. And I read Mordecai throughout the city. Meantime, Mordecai is wondering, what in the world is this? You know? And then there was a whole lot of shame, a whole lot of shame that came to Haman that day. And meanwhile, Mordecai was arrayed, paraded throughout the city, and everybody proclaimed and gave honor. And everybody's wondering, wow, this man, what in the world? So Haman goes home, buries his head in shame, calls his friends and his wife again. And he had this evil wife called Zeresh, and says to them all the things that happened. Now listen, verse 13 is the prophetic verse that I'm preaching on today. I just told you all of that story to get to this 6:13. That's why I call it prophetic 6:13. And don't you ever forget it. In this 6th chapter of Esther, in this 13th verse, there's a prophetic pronunciation here. And I'm going to use that today, declare something over the room. Today being the 13th day of this 6th month, and as we find in this 13th day, verse of this 6th chapter, here's what was said to this man. They said to him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews that you are planning to kill, before whom you have begun to fall, when I began to fall before this man, you will not prevail against him. You will certainly fall before. This is why all the people that have been, stirring him up and so forth before. Now, they told him, this man, if he's one of these Jews, the seed of the Jews that you wanted to kill, and now the man's been promoted and you've been told to bow down before him, you will not prevail against him. Glory to God. And I say amen to that. And if you believe that, you can put amen in the chat room. Your enemies that are plotted against you, even in the camp of the enemy, will now realize that they cannot prevail against you. That's it. Prophetic 6:13. In this verse, the pronunciation went out of the mouth of all the evil plotters to Haman himself. And you will not, and you cannot prevail against Mordecai, because you have now begun to fall before him. glory to God. So, while you are yet talking to him, the story is not even finished yet. But this is the prophetic declaration that I wanted to make over the room. Come out of that chapter 6 and verse 13. Today being the 6th month and the 13th day of this month, and this prophetic verse 6:13, the Lord says, call it over the room. And I did. And I will be doing some more. And so, they come to bring this man to the banquet that the king had honored. In the meantime, he's still a honored man. I mean, that the queen had prepared to honor him and the king. He's still a honored man, he thinks. But his friend already told him, you know, you have begun to fall. That was prophetic. And they said it. And so it will be. So he comes. The rest of the story, you may also know. He comes to the palace, the banquet and everything. So the king asked the queen again. This is the third time. What is your request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Well, and the queen, she used wisdom. She said, look, if I have found favor on your side now, she's going to exploit that favor now. If I have found favor on your side, O king, and if I please the king so well, and I please the king, you are ready to give me half of the kingdom. But that's not what I really want. Let my life be given to me and my people at my request. The king is thinking, your life? You are the queen. Who is there that will hurt you? He said, look, that's all I'm asking the king. All this ado that I'm making here is for me to just plead for the safety of my life and my people. The king is saying, who is trying to hurt you? The king did not make the connection all along. You know, all this stuff that Haman was plotting and getting letters to be written against the Jews. King did not make the connection that these are the people of Esther. He didn't make that connection. So the king is saying, who is it that wants to hurt you? He said, well, you know, all our people are being ready to be sold, ready to be destroyed, ready to be slain, and must be perished out of the land. You know, and his woman said, look, if only we're being sold for slave men, we're used to that, bondsmen. If that's all it is, well, that would have been easy. I wouldn't even be asking the king for anything. But no, they are saying that they should be destroyed, all of us. So the king said, who is it that is trying to do this to you guys? I mean, what is he presuming to do? And he said, and now here's another bombshell. Esther has set up the king now. The king is now furious. Somebody wants to destroy you in my kingdom and your people. Who is this person? All the time, he did not make the connection in his head. He authorized the signing of the letter, but he didn't know what he was signing. And Esther says, it is this wicked Haman that is trying to do this thing. The king was so furious. He just got up in a fury, stormed out of the room, was so angry. Haman is trying to do this to you, my queen. Kill you. The man is just so angry. He walks out. He storms out of the room, actually. Meanwhile, Haman is saying, oh my goodness. You know, so he gets up. He's so scared now because he's never seen the king furious like that. So he goes to, Esther at that time, you know, she got up and she went and sat on the bed. And he goes there and falls, you know, down upon the bed where Esther was to plead for his life, you know. And at that moment, see, God orchestrating everything. At that moment, when he was still falling on the bed where Esther was sitting, the king came back. He said, oh, you will even force my wife, my queen, in my own palace? You are on her bed? Not only you want to kill her, you're going to force her in my presence, in my own bed? I mean, in my own palace? So the king is just thinking, this is it. You know, and he immediately ordered the man to be hanged and everything. Now, Chamberlain said, no, king, there's no need. This man has already prepared gallows. He gave us instructions to build those gallows. I prepared them. You know, they're at the backyard of his house. That he wanted to use to kill Mordecai. He prepared what? Yeah. He said, okay. There's no need for you to build additional gallows. Go hang him there. And all his people. Hallelujah. See how God turned the table? Not only did God make the enemy serve up blessings on the table before Mordecai. He said, the Lord will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I mean, this time around, make even your enemies fill that table with good things. You know, then now you're going to turn around and bring that enemy down completely. Vanquish that enemy. And the very worst of the enemy, God will turn around, use it to your blessing, and use it against the enemy for your good. So God said, I should tell you that today. And so they went and hanged Haman on those gallows, the very gallows that he had prepared. They hung him on it. You know, and as the story went, you know, Mordecai was honored. Haman was hanged. Esther spoke some more and then, you know, to the king and said, look, there were these letters that were already made and sent out, which you had signed. The king said, I signed what? He said, yeah, you did too. This man was going to have us all killed. I said, well, you know, what do you need? He said, well, I need all these things to be reversed because people are still preparing to kill all the Jews because of the previous commandments which you sent out or which Haman sent out in your name. He said, ah, and the king himself was afraid that he did that. He said, no, I had no such idea, no such intention. He said, well, I'm going to reverse it. Now, what do you need? Esther told him, well, let there be other letters written to us, for us, that we should defend ourselves against all these people. And against the day that they are prepared to kill us, you know, and let these letters be written in the king's name and let it be sealed with the king's ring and put in the writing of the king's name and so forth. And so no man may reverse it. And they did that. And so they wrote letters and the Jews, they strengthened themselves against the day that had been prepared to destroy them. And they preempted that plan and they went out and prepared for themselves, you know, they got themselves ready, they got ammunition, they got swords, they got spears, they got everything. Went out against their enemies, not only to defend themselves, but to destroy their enemies. And the king gave them favor, and the Lord gave them the upper hand, and so on and so forth. Let me leave that story there and come back to this part of it, where the people said to him, these were the instigators that were instigating him before to kill all the Jews. Or, you know, they said to him, you will fall before him. You cannot do it. He is one of these Jews and you have begun to fall before him already. You will not prevail and you will fall. And I want those words to echo out before you today and echo out in this room to the ears of anybody and everybody that's here listening now or later. I'm going to read something else to you also before I make some prophetic declarations that go along with this message today. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5, there was a story where the Philistines had captured the Ark of God. You know, and they brought it, we're told, from Ebenezer unto Ashdod, which is the house, you know, of the Philistines and their gods and so forth. So, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it in the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. That sounds like dragon, huh? Dagon, and set it there. And the men of Ashdod rose up early in the morning, and behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. I love this story. Now just imagine what happened. They captured the ark, right? Okay. So some things happened there, you know. you know, back in the day of Eli and so forth, and his sons and so forth, they were killed, the ark was captured and all that. But let's leave that part of the story. So they captured the ark and they brought it to the house of their gods, and they put the ark and set it by Dagon, which was a thing that they made by their own hands, but they worshipped. So they set the ark there. And they got up in the morning and went there, and they found that Dagon, which they erected, which up till that time had been, you know, upright and everything, and they'd come there, they'd bow before that thing and say one or two things, but the thing, there was never any answer. But that's what they worshipped anyway. On this particular day, when they rose up in the morning and went to the house of Dagon, they found that it had fallen before the ark. So they said, well, we don't know what happened here. So they put Dagon up in its face, I mean, its place again, and then they left and came back the next day, and Dagon was falling again before the ark. And this time around, it wasn't just falling, you know, it was falling to the ground before the ark. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off from the threshold, and only his stump remained. Head was falling, arms were falling, and only the stump. And the way they built that thing before, carved it out, it was just on the stump. There wasn't any feet. They just set it up on some place, and they had, you know, from the stump up to the chest and the head and the necks and the arms and so forth. But when it fell before the ark, it was broken before the ark. And my goodness. And so the hand of the Lord, we're told, was heavy upon the men of Ashdod that day. And the Lord, you know, showed how mightily the presence of God will be, that the enemy will fall. Dagon fell before the Lord's presence and the ark. Dagon might represent, if you will, you know, the seat of the enemy. That's right. And the presence of the Lord represented in the ark is what's upon you. Did not the scripture say that he that is in you is greater than he that is without? Well, Dagon fell before the ark. Haman fell before Mordecai. And on this prophetic 613 day, just like we read in the book of Esther 613, your enemies have begun to fall before you. Praise the Lord. There's been a lot of scheming. There have been a lot of things that the enemy have planned, but God is the great masterminder. Our mastermind. He can take whatever the enemy planned for evil and turn it around. See how God made, not only set a table before Mordecai, made his greatest enemy, the would-be destroyer. Now, Haman and his instigators and his wife Zeresh, they were the would-be destroyers of Mordecai and the Jews. And God turned the would-be destroyer to unwilling destiny promoters. That's right. You know, Naaman didn't want any such thing if I wanted to destroy Mordecai and the Jews. But out of his own mouth, glory to God, came the promotion that will come to Mordecai. Now, you talk about God setting up a table before you in the presence of your enemies. This one even goes beyond. Not only did God do that, he caused that your enemy to be the one that will put precious things on that table and serve you. He served it up, all the blessings, the crown, the royal apparel, the royal horse even, the proclamation and everything that Mordecai would experience came from the mouth Haman. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let me turn to the prophetic part of this message today. You already figured it out if you could. If you were listening and engaging in the spirit, you figured it out already. Now, I am going to make a prophetic declaration over everybody that is in this room today. If you are physically here present, and if you are listening later on by extension, to all those who are listening later on, or might be listening later on, those who are live right now, those who will be listening later on, by extension, I bring all of you under the canopy of this pronunciation that I will make right now in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I declare and decree that the enemy and all the plots of the enemy against you could be against you, could be against your son, it could be against your family member, it could be anything that the enemy has plotted. Today, being the starting day of this month, June, the sixth month, as it is written in this 13th verse of this sixth chapter of the book of Esther, I declare that the enemy will begin to fall before you on this day. Now, some of you have other enemies. Maybe sickness. It might be disease. It might be some other distress that have come upon you from various things. The enemy cut off your supply. You know, took that which is yours. Here's what the Lord says unto you. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8. The Lord says, I am swearing and I have sworn in by the right hand of my holiness. The right hand of my strength too. And I often say, the Lord doesn't need to swear anything. He just needs to say it and it is done. For he commands and it stands fast. He speaks and it's done. He doesn't need to swear. Now, if he swears though, that's to tell you how serious the matter is. Say, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely. And that's surely, I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies, for the which thou hast labored, and thy sons of the stranger will not drink your wine, which you have labored for. Sometimes, you know, some of you have felt that you got passed by. Every time, it was always somebody else that got the promotion. People even steal your work. And present the idea as though it was theirs. You know, and they circumvent your blessings that way. You know, some people even stab you in the back and walk all over you and so forth. They take that which should be yours. The Lord said, look, I will no more allow that to happen. And you know, everything that the enemy has stolen out of you or stolen from you, yeah, the Lord said, look, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. Enough of that already. And the Lord has many ways by which he can do these things. He can cause things to shift in your favor. You know, and he can do many things to turn things around in your favor, as we see in all of these stories. There are other powerful stories in the Bible. You know, I don't have time to tell you about Jacob and Laban. How Laban also tricked Jacob, made him, you know, spend 20 years of his life just trying to get one single thing. You know, get a wife. First, the man tricked him for 7 years. Jacob was willing to pay 7 years to get the woman he wanted. He was tricked. Instead of Rachel, they gave to him Leah. And when he found out, he said, he said, no, we don't do any such thing in our culture. We cannot give the younger before the elder. Serve me another 7 years and I will give you Rachel to wife also. Another 7 years, I just served seven, but the man, because of the great love that he had for Rachel, you know, he was content to do it. He said, I'll do it. I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel also. And he did. Along the way, you know, the man Laban changed his wages 10 times. You know, always tricking him. Every time they would accuse Jacob that he stole any of the cattle, which wasn't even, he didn't steal. You know, and so one day Jacob says to Laban, look, I can't serve you forever. When am I going to go start my own thing? Give me my wives already and let me go. And bless me and let me go and go start my own thing. The man said, well, I know that you are a favored man of God and a blessing of God has come unto me since you are here. You know, and he used that flattery to try to get him. He said, well, you know, stay with me some 6 more years or this and that. And, you know, whatever your wages are, I will pay. Jacob said, you will pay. You have changed my wages 10 times already. He said, this time around, I will pay. So Jacob said, okay. And the Lord, you know, gave him wisdom. Ooh. The Lord gave this man inspiration of the Almighty. He said to Laban, well, here's what we're going to do. Because you guys are always accusing that we stole your cattle and so forth. Well, here, you know, this will be my wages. You want to know what my wages will be? All the grizzled and speckled cattle that nobody likes. You know, people wanted the ones that were solid color and everything. You know, those were the ones that they wanted. They had to also be solid colors like that, even for the sacrifice and the fatted cow and everything. So we said, well, all the ones that are, you know, ring streaked and speckled and so forth, those will be my hire. So when you're going through the flock and you see something among my flock that is not ring-straight and speckled and so forth, if you see any solid color cattle with me, then you know I stole them. Some of the ones say, oh, that's good. That sounds like a good idea. So that was the plan. That was the arrangement. But this man, God will repay him all those 20 years that Laban stole from him. That's right. Yeah, sometimes the people that will steal from you the most will even be your family. This man was a relative. He was kind of like an uncle to him, you know, and I oppressed him like that. And so God appeared to him in a vision, in a night vision, told him what to do. And I have never seen anything like it in that entire Bible of what Jacob did. Changed the course of nature. And the Lord showed him. He said, well, I'm going to cause a transfer of wealth from Laban to you for all those 20 years. You know, sometimes, you know, it might be your son has locked up in prison or this or that that's happening. There's a way that God will bring something. You know, all the years, all the thing that he stole from you and from him, God will restore. And so, how did God restore this? Gave him some inspiration, which was actually impossible. You cannot influence, you cannot have this kind of influence that Jacob had. You can't do it unless God puts it on you. So God showed him, I'll take a couple of sticks, just, you know, make some markings, do some of this and so forth. Make these sticks look like ring straight and speckled and so forth. And when you see those cattle that have strong DNA when they are mating, put these things in front of them. And you will influence whatever they bring for. All the calves that they will bring for, they will turn out to be like this. Really? Yeah. So, you know, now, the ones that were mating were the strong ones which people had been feeding, the solid color, not the ring straight and not the speckled, but Jacob would influence what they would bring forth to be otherwise, so that he got all of those cattle coming to him. And when he saw the mean cattle that did not have strong DNA, he just left those alone. You know, as a matter of fact, those ones brought forth the opposite. The mean cattle that were already ring-streaked and so forth, speckled, they brought forth solid color, which became Labans. And the good ones that were strong and fed and so forth, they brought forth the ring-streaked and speckled, which was by agreement going to be Jacob's. And so that's how God brought the reversal of fortunes. And everything that was good came back to Jacob. All those 20 years. And by agreement, and everybody saw it, nobody could say that Jacob stole anything, because that was the agreement. And when he went through the flock, they found nothing that was solid among him, his flock. They were all the ring-streaked and speckled with by agreement was what they agreed on, but they were the strong DNAs. All the other ones were feeble, were Labans. And God can turn the tables like that for you. And I'm going to pronounce the beginning of this change. Glory to God. On this day, because it is written, you have begun to fall before Mordecai. On this day also, things will begin to change in reversal for you. The enemies that have come against you, even sickness, disease, loss of income, and, lack of progress, or everything that the enemy have brought up on you, shut up the gates against you, that you couldn't prosper. Jesus called them gates of hell. You know, the gates of hell that have tried to prevail against you, and their powers of iron and so forth that try to hem you in, got you jammed in and everything like that. Today is coming a release by the sound of my voice. And which voice is in the word of the Lord? This voice will carry the word of the Lord today. And the word of the Lord is like a hammer. Break down things, cedars, break them down. Mountains, break them down. Gates, unshackle even things. Bars of iron, gates of brass. And all that the enemy put up against you this day has begun to fall. Now, I declare prophetically for everyone that's in this room, you've heard the word of the Lord, and all you got to do is say amen and receive it. If you believe the word of the Lord today that I'm declaring and about to declare yet, you put your amen in the chat room and it will be so for you in Jesus' name. Now, every one of you that's in this room, for Nady, for Jane, for Cadian, for Elizabeth, every one of you, for Renju and Arizona and Unfon and Tay, for Nina and Ope and Maggie and Nidia, every one of you, for Suzanne and Susan, all of you, the Lord is set forth to bring this thing to pass in your life. For Esther, for Elisha, for Ibukun, for Charles, for Oke and Renita, for Mary, for Titilayo, for Maggie, for Otitoju, for Grace, for Crystal, for Joke, for Alice, and for Ebon. Every one of you, I stand in the word of the Lord to declare this to you today. And remember, the word of the Lord says, I am the Lord. He, not me. I'm speaking for him. I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars and make diviners to be mad. Glory to God. I'm the one that formed thee from the womb, he said, and I make all things. I stretch forth the heavens alone. When I stretch forth the heavens alone, when I lay the foundations of the earth, you know, say, well, I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. The Lord asked Job, where were you when I did all those things? Tell me if you know. The man put his hands upon his mouth because he could not speak a word. The Lord says, I'm the one that stretched forth the heavens alone. I'm the one that spread abroad the earth by myself. I'm the one that frustrated the tokens of the liars. I'm the one, all the lies and evidence otherwise that have been turned upside down against you and your son and or whatever is going on in your life. God said, I'm the one that frustrated them. Even when you don't know how, God said, I will frustrate them. To God be glory. I will make diviners mad. I will turn wise men backward. I make their knowledge to be foolish. Huh. Glory to God. And furthermore, I confirm the word of my servant and perform the counsel of my messengers. Glory to God. The servant of the Lord, your humble servant of the Lord that is here today, I say that all I am doing is repeating his word. I am speaking nothing of my own. I'm just repeating his word, but I'm broadcasting it. I'm like that microphone. The Lord has spoken and I'm broadcasting it. He said, the Lord sent his word. Great is the company that broadcast it. So I am broadcasting this word upon you today. You know, since you are of the seed of Christ, that which the enemy put upon you has begun to fall and cannot prevail against you. Just like they spoke it in Haman's ears. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom you have begun to fall, you cannot prevail against him. Well, I'm going to put your name here in this pronunciation. If Alice be of the seed of Christ, that's right. Ebon and the rest of you, Titilai, everybody, put your name there. The enemy has begun to fall before you today. You may not see it right away, but it has begun to happen. And the enemy cannot prevail against you. And the son of unrighteousness shall no longer afflict you. The arm of the Lord is going to guarantee it. You talk about the strength of his arm. I call it arm wrestling. If the Lord sits across the table with his arm, who can wrestle his arm down? I said, the strength of my arm, thy holy arm, the right hand has gotten you the victory. The Lord has uttered his voice, the voice of the Lord in front of his camp. His voice is very great. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? I prophesy over this room today that all the would-be destroyers that have come against you in your life, even health-wise, commercially, economically, and socially, and even spiritually, everything that the enemy has put up against you, I prophesy against them in the name of the Lord. So take up this Bible against Pharaoh. And I prophesy this word against Pharaoh, the Pharaohs in your life that said, let there be more burdens laying upon the people so that they will not be able to serve the Lord and they will not have time. Well, I come against that Pharaoh. Hear the word of the Lord. Let my people go that they may serve me in the name of Jesus. It could be sickness, it could be disease, it could be setbacks. Could be various things that the enemy put up as gates and bars to keep you jammed in and hemmed in so that you will not break forth. But behold, say the word of the Lord, thou shalt break forth on the left and on the right. Glory to God. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. That's right. The Lord will make you to be yet a crown of glory and a royal diadem in his hand. Praise the Lord. And some of you live in places where, you know, people's lives are in jeopardy every day. You know, it's like, you know, you don't even know from one day to another what you're going to hear next in the news. Behold, saith the word of the Lord. Yes, you may hear of it, but it shall not come near you. 1,000 may fall this way and 10 that the other way, but it shall not come near you. Only with your ears sometimes you hear. and see the reward that's happening out there, but it won't come near you. And if it did come near you, we reverse it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We say the word of the Lord has given us assurances that my people will dwell in quiet resting places. Glory to God. For the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be tranquility for you. And you will dwell in quiet resting places, saith the Lord. And my words which I have spoken shall no longer be prolonged. Hallelujah. In my days, I have heard the word of the Lord say it. In your days, you have heard the word of the Lord say it. And in your days and in my days will the Lord fulfill it. Ha! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, today, we put the seal of the king upon it. We put his ring, the signet upon it in the name of Jesus. Let there be the royal horse, come forth for you. I have seen a travesty, the wise man wrote. I have seen servants riding upon horses and princes walking upon the foot. So this is a great travesty. And the Lord will bring things, put things back right side up. Everything that's been upside down in your life, we command a reversal, that the Lord will bring things right side up to the glory of God in Jesus' name. And many such things also that we will declare in prayer, and you will declare for yourself in a minute. Many other such things will the Lord grant today, because this is the day that the Lord has favored you. The Lord is stretching forth that golden scepter. Reach out and touch it. Glory to God. And speak the words that God will put in your heart to reverse. Remember how Esther, she spoke the words and the king ordered a reversal of what was gone before. The first one, they said, cannot be altered. But the king said it. Well, the king wrote yet another one to reverse that which was said, what could not be altered. And the king altered it. Glory to God. Anything that the enemy has in place against you, that the enemy has said, aha, aha, I got you where I want you. Today, the Lord reverses it in Jesus' name. The enemy will begin and has begun to fall before you, and he cannot and will not prevail against you. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, come build with me, said the Lord. Come build with me. Praise God. And God will put the words in your mouth. Say, I put my words in your mouth. I put my spirit within you. And the Lord has put the words within me today, has given me the tongue of the learned. That's right. He woke my ear today in the morning to hear the word of the Lord. Wakes my ear every morning to hear it. And he has given me the tongue of the learned, and I know how to speak a word in season to anyone that's weary here today. The Lord rebuke that weariness in the name of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke it. The thing that's causing you to be weary, that's causing your hands to hang down, your knees to be feeble, your heads to be bowed. Sometimes some people even put ashes on their head. You should never, a child of the king, a daughter of the king, a son of the king, never should ashes go upon your head. The Lord is your glory and the lifter of your head. Lift up your head, therefore, today, and let the King of glory come on in triumphantly to the glory of God. Jesus' name, amen and amen.